Welcome once again to Leto's Law. Here's Steve Leto.
Joel passed along to me a story about odometers. And I've talked about odometers in the past and about how odometer fraud is a thing. I've had a lot of people say, Steve, they don't roll back odometers anymore. It's too difficult. It's impossible. Modern technology and all that. And the thing is that it's fairly easy to catch people who commit odometer fraud. And it still does happen. And it's different than it used to be. In the old days, cars I had when I was in high school had little numbers on wheels that turned as the car went round and round. And those numbers would presumably go up and not down. And then, of course, nowadays, you've got electronic odometers, part of your instrument cluster and so on. I've gotten criticized before for calling the modern ones digital and the old ones analog because people say, Steve, they're all digital. But, you know, people like to complain about stuff. But Joel passed along the story. Man pleads guilty to conspiracy and scheme to roll back odometers. It does still happen. Stories out of Green Bay, Wisconsin from WBAY. Sarah Thompson wrote it. And a man indicted in a scheme to roll back odometers on used vehicles and sell them to unsuspecting customers has been convicted in federal court in Green Bay. The man appeared before a federal judge Friday for a plea hearing. He pleaded guilty to one count of conspiracy. Five other counts of the indictment will be dismissed when he's sentenced in May. Federal prosecutors say that Robert Solberg, and Joshua A. Taylor conspired to alter odometers on high-mileage vehicles in order to sell them at a higher price. Taylor has also agreed to plead guilty to conspiracy in a plea agreement with the federal government. Five other counts will be dismissed at his sentencing. His hearing has not taken place yet, however. The conspiracy charges carry a maximum sentence of 5 years in federal prison and $250,000 fine. This is serious stuff. So most states have got odometer statutes. And then, of course, there's a federal statute that covers the whole country. And people say, why do you have one of each? Well, they're slightly different. And it turns out that the damages provision might be different in one versus the other. The standard of proof might be different in one versus the other. And some things might be illegal in some states, but it's not illegal in the feds. And so, for instance, Michigan's odometer statute is part of the titling statute that talks about what information must be disclosed at the time that you sell a vehicle to somebody. And much of it has to do with the document you fill out when you're transferring the title over. And the seller certifies a whole bunch of stuff, including whether or not the odometer is accurate. And many people know that nowadays vehicles over a certain age might be exempt from the reporting standards, but it does not mean you can roll the odometers back on them. And that's one of the strangest arguments I've ever heard. I did a video on it, and I've actually seen news organizations report and say, yeah, there's a loophole. It's not a loophole. It's a trap for the stupid. But it's another story altogether. During Friday's hearing, the judge asked Solberg if he rolled back the odometers or ordered someone else to do it. He replied that both he and Taylor took part in the tampering. Federal prosecutors say Solberg and Taylor sold about 22 vehicles with altered odometers to buyers based on false and fraudulent representations and promises regarding the mileage in the vehicles, the history, and the vehicle's operating conditions. And again, in the 29 years I've been practicing law, and I've been talking about odometers and lemon law and all that kind of stuff the whole time, and I've been doing stuff in the media. I remember I had a talk show for years, and I remember the only time you ever hear about people being convicted criminally of odometer tampering is when it's a wide-scale operation. It either involves a bunch of vehicles or more than one person. And that's almost the only times you'll ever see them cracking down on this. But the person who rolls one odometer back will almost always get away with it criminally, but they can be sued. And that's the interesting thing is that the odometer statutes allow you to sue somebody if you've been hurt by this. The government can come in and prosecute you. That's different. And that can be fun, too, if you're the person who got wronged to see somebody get prosecuted for it. Doesn't happen very often in the automobile sales field, but odometer fraud's one of them. But you can sue these people, and sometimes you get double damages or treble damages. And in case you're curious, I can tell you that I've spoken to people in the used car business, and they will tell you that a car that's been brought in that has actual mileage known has a value. The moment you say it's mileage unknown, cut the value in half at least, because it's a hot potato. Nobody wants to own the car that has unknown mileage on it, okay? And I know people out there say, Steve, I buy salvage vehicles. I buy previously wrecked vehicles. I like those kind of challenges. Yeah, you do. You're unusual. You're an outlier. Generally speaking, in the marketplace of cars, selling used cars with mileage unknown, you're going to take a hit. So In early 2019, victims started filing complaints with the Wisconsin Department of Transportation. The Wisconsin DOT reported it to the Green Bay Police. A Brown County man had reported buying a GMC Yukon for $4,100 on Craigslist. He said he made the purchase from a man he did not know, and he thought the handwritten mileage on the title appeared forged from 214,000 miles to 114,000 miles. The odometer showed the lower mileage, but was also displaying an error code. He suspected someone had tampered with it, and it turns out he may have been right. Police tracked down the original owner, who informed them that they had sold it days earlier at about half that price, and the vehicle did, in fact, have more miles on it than was reflected on the error odometer. The victim's family started searching Craigslist and found more cars from the seller. There were listings around the state. Police found another victim from Green Bay. He'd purchased a vehicle that showed 114,000 miles. However, he learned the vehicle's real mileage was about 300,000. Action 2 News, which is, I guess, WBAY Wisconsin, broke news of the investigation last June. And on June 3rd, Green Bay police executed search warrants at the man's home and the storage facility and the other man's home. Warrants revealed during searches of three properties, police seized six vehicles, phones, keys, titles, more than $4,000 in cash, and an odometer cluster. Officers also found multiple odometers. One was in a cardboard box that had been shipped to Robert Solberg, according to warrants. Text messages and emails between Solberg and Taylor show discussions about how many miles to roll back on specific vehicles and what price they should then advertise. Taylor was in the Marinette County Jail in late 2018 and early 2019 on an unrelated matter. Phone calls recorded in the jail confirm he continued to conspire with Solberg on the odometer fraud. And, you know, what continues to amaze me is that people watch television, they watch the movies, and they know that when they're talking on the phone from jail, it's being recorded. It's being monitored. And so when somebody is in jail and continues talking about what they're doing on the jail phone, again, someone called that a trap for the stupid. But hey, in addition to Solberg and Taylor's devices and text messages implicating them as the culprits, victims who purchased the vehicles were able to identify Solberg and Taylor as the individuals with whom they had met for the purchase of the vehicle. And this is according to the plea agreement. After reports aired on Action 2 News, more victims came forward to identify Solberg and Taylor as culprits in these kinds of things. And, you know, I've had people... I did a video a few years ago about curb stoning, and I've written articles about it. And after the articles ran, I believe on Jalopnik, but possibly roadandtrack.com, I had a lot of people contact me who were upset. They say, hey, Steve, I buy and sell cars for a living, and I, you know, you just called me a curb stoner. And I said, well, you know, if you sell more than a certain number of cars in your state and you're not licensed, you're a curb stoner. And because states license used car dealers, and they'll often say, if you buy or sell more than this number of cars per year, in some states, it's as low as five. You buy and sell five cars a year, you're supposed to get licensed. And people say, but Steve, if I get licensed, number one, I can't comply with the licensing because it requires me to actually have a, you know, place of business and so on. I want to sell cars out of my driveway, and I'm just going to buy and sell cars out of my driveway. And I had people get angry. I had a guy call me up and yell at me, and he's just yelling about how I was interfering with his side gig. And... you know, if you want to live dangerously, knock yourself out. But people say, Steve, you know, you're an attorney. Justify this law for me. Well, number one, my job is not to justify the law. My job is to explain the law, tell you what the law is. But I can tell you why they have a department that oversees used car dealers and why they require used car dealers to get licensed. Because used car dealers have, for instance, record-keeping requirements. And so there's a thing called a police book, at least in Michigan, but I know a lot of states have this, that when a dealership buys a car and acquires a car that they're going to put in their inventory, they've got to take note of a bunch of facts and figures and information. It goes in the police book. And then if they sell the car, the police book's got to reflect the car got sold on what date, to whom, how much got sold for, and so on and so forth. And all of the record-keeping requirements that they're doing is to keep them from doing things like this. Okay? And I can tell you, back in the old days, I'm talking about 1960s, 1970s, it was common, before there were federal statutes on odometer tampering, for instance, where people would take cars to states that didn't have laws on it and just roll the odometers back and then bring them to a state where, you know, it might have been illegal, but hey, how do we know what happened? And so the key is that they want to track how these cars are moving around and so on and so forth. And so when somebody is buying and selling used cars and are not licensed, and they're doing it out of their driveway, their front yard, or their friend's front yard, they know they're doing something wrong. That's why they're pretending to be just an individual selling a car. That's, I suspect, why these guys are selling cars at different places around the state. They're trying to pretend that they're not actually moving volumes of cars. And it's unfortunate because some states, I think, have become aware that people are curbstoning at very, very large volumes, and they don't step in and do something about it. And what happens then is people start cutting even more corners, and some of them start cutting legal corners, okay? And so it's not often that you hear about dealerships spinning odometers anymore. It's not who's doing it. Who's doing it are the curbstoners and the people who are buying and selling just used cars. And they realize that, hey, this car I just got that has a nice, you know, body. It's got, it's you know, it looks nice, but it's got 300,000 miles. If it only had 100,000 miles, it'd be worth twice as much, three times as much, you know? And so I could go out and try to haggle to save a couple bucks, or I could break the law, spin the odometer, and double my profits, you know? And so unfortunately, that temptation is too much for some people. Good news, though, is that the people in Wisconsin, the good people of Wisconsin, and their authorities are stepping in and putting an end to this on some levels, at least with respect to this one scheme between these two guys. So the man pleads guilty to conspiracy and scheme to roll back odometers. He has pleaded guilty, and it looks like the other guy might be set to take a plea as well. If we get updated, I'll let you know. Otherwise, talk to you later. Bye-bye.
Thank you for watching Leto's Law. I think I might hate things now, too. So far, it's leggings as pants and pumpkin spice car fresheners.